Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning we're joined in the studio by Dr. William Boone, who is a professor of political science at Clark Atlanta University. Dr. Boone, welcome.
Thanks for inviting me. Always a pleasure being with you.
Dr. Boone, I wanted you to come in today to talk about the mayoral election, starting with the 13 candidates that ran. We ended up with the runoff, and this runoff seemed to mimic the 2009 runoff. What can you share with us about this last election?
Well, you have 13, to begin with, a very easy part here. You have 13 candidates because it's an empty seat. And usually when you have an outgoing incumbent, and people will line up to run because they feel it's their opportunity. But on the more substance side, in terms of the campaign itself, the campaign was initially, when you had 13 folks, it was somewhat torrid, I could say. But you found it whittled down because there were so many people who were not really very serious candidates who were attempting to just simply have their name and their visibility put out there. That was it. But when you get down to the very serious candidates, the outcome of the general election was somewhat surprising to some, because you did have a person, the president of council, Cesar Mitchell, not even make it into the top tier, third or fourth place, and others who did not make it. And of course, John Eaves came on rather late in the campaign itself, so there's really very little hope that he was going to make it into it. But there were some surprises there. And you did have, winding up at the end of the day, you had Mary Norwood, you had Keisha Lance Bottoms, you had Peter Ammons, and you had Kathy Willard. And I think those kind of, that fallout, that shakeout, is an indication of how diverse the city has become demographically. And particularly when you look at Kathy Willard, former chair of the president of the council, rather, and she represents the gay and lesbian community, LGBT community, and they came out very strong for her. As a matter of fact, if you look at her vote turnout, she won almost every precinct in that east part of Atlanta where there is a heavy concentration of LGBT supporters. So she came out very strong. But also you got Peter Ammons. Peter Ammons also comes in at fourth, a fairly strong fourth, and he represents a certain segment of the population as well, especially in the northern segment of the city, part of the city. And I think what's significant for us is that you have coming out in, at the end of the day, one black candidate and three white candidates. So much so that you have Willard being able to say to each candidate, I'm going to hold a forum, and you need to come to this forum, and I will announce who I'm going to support. And she finally winds up supporting that. So we're here in the runoff several days ago. We're at the runoff, and we have Keisha Lance Bottoms, the African-American councilwoman, and we have Mary Norwood, the white councilwoman.
And, I mean, I was really kind of shocked that the top three were the female candidates.
Yes, yes.
To me, that was the first shock. Yeah. But then the second shock, I think, that kind of caught a lot of folks off guard were the old guard, let's say, who came out and endorsed the white candidate over the African-American candidate.
Yeah, I think that latter question about, you have people like former Mayor Shirley Franklin and others. You had even Cesar Mitchell and other folk coming out in support of Mary Norwood. The white candidate, the white individual in the race. But I think that represents something significant here, because I think that's the other thing that played itself out in this election, because it certainly was a struggle between who will be the leader, in quotes, of the black community, right? In terms of who articulate the black position in the city. Will it be Kasim Reed, or will it be the Shirley Franklin faction? And on other occasions, in other races, former Mayor Franklin won, because her candidates won over the candidates being supported by Reed. In this particular instance, at this particular point, it appears that Reed has won out with Keisha Lance Bottoms, a person that he apparently groomed, I suppose. I don't know if groomed is the right word, but certainly a person he backed very strongly. And during the course of her council career, she was one of the persons who supported him, and he supported her. So it played, so it comes out that indeed she wins. Well, she ostensibly has won, and they haven't gotten an official count yet. But she may winds up the mayor, which says to us about Reed now maybe can claim that indeed he is the person who is leading the community here, as opposed to the faction that maybe former Mayor Franklin leads. So that kind of thing is playing out too in terms of leadership of the community.
It kind of reminded me of our national situation with the GOP, where you've got this old guard of conservatives, right, and then kind of the new guard or the new trend.
Right. And that's interesting, because in the city, you know, you if you recall the general election that Cesar Mitchell ran in, and the old guard, the old icons of a civil rights movement, almost to a person, almost endorsed Cesar Mitchell. But he lost very badly. He did not really come in even fourth place. So he lost very badly in the race. And I think that's an indication of the change in demographics of the city. The city is not what it was even 8 years ago in terms of who now lives here. And a good many of the folk who are now in this city are folk who have no relationship or no memory of what it took for those who consider themselves to be leaders of the city to get to this point. They have no relationship in terms of the kind of civil rights legacy, the political fights that the old guard had in order to establish themselves. They have no relationship or no connection to that. And that plays itself out in terms of how the vote goes.
And when you mention that old guard and memories, even in recent, 10, 12 years, when there were multiple African Americans wanting to run for mayor, they would have that back room meeting. Absolutely. They would choose who was going to be the best, and it would be one person. And this time we ended up with, really good leaders, Cesar Mitchell, John Eaves. I mean, if he had probably started a little bit earlier, we don't know where that would have gone. But it just seems like this is so very new.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more of that. At one point in Atlanta's development and evolution, you certainly did get a much more united black community. And they did, even those who professed to be Republicans and those who were Democrats, they still had common cause. And they would come together and decide just what issues they should push for, and also decide who should represent the issues. And you got that. And you had negotiations between that group and also those folks in the white community as well. So you did have that kind of thing going on. But all that has fallen by the wayside for the most part. You're not getting that. And there is a shift. And it'll have to play itself out over the next several years, of course. It's already started. And this is one of the watershed moments there. Because certainly if Keisha Lance Bottom is certified as mayor, it seems to be going that way, that will send a message that the faction that supports Reed, and that's the faction that supports Shirley Franklin, are the new persons in the city to be contended with. And that's going to be interesting, because that, too, will speak, I think, Kipling, to the whole question of the city's priorities. Will the city's priorities remain the same, or will they begin to shift in a direction that some argue will be more beneficial to the city's present majority? That is the African-American community. Will those priorities shift, or will they remain the same in terms of the downtown business elite?
Well, the other thing to me that was surprising in this, the whole election, in the general election, there were approximately 91,000 people voted. We're hitting 20%. In the runoff, we picked up a few more. It was 92,000 people in the runoff election. But why aren't people voting, Dr. Boone? I ask that in the era of Trump, when we know that if you don't vote, you might end up with leadership that you don't respect. So in this time, how is it that only 20% of the population of Atlanta vote? Not even 25, not even a quarter.
Yeah. Not even a quarter of people voted. You're absolutely right. Not a quarter. And if I had the answer to that, I'd probably be the greatest political scientist around. But, there's a lot of speculation. Some work has been done on that. We all know there's a drop-off in terms of election participation in what we call off-year elections, where you don't have the president on, and sometimes you don't have the governor's race on, and folks just don't attach that kind of attention to it. And this is strictly speculation on my part, very little research, but on this particular question. But certainly, it seems to me that if folk don't, if the population does not truly understand the power and that local authority has on their lives, or the impact it has on their lives, because it is at the local level that determines whether or not your trash is going to be picked up. Something as mundane as that. And whether or not your sewer system is going to work properly. You can flush your commode and all that kind of stuff. Those are the kind of things that local government does. And it means that you are paying taxes at the local level for these services, and the folk get to make it. And there are contracts being let at the local level of taxpayers' money, city's money, that you should be aware of and decide who's going to do it. But there doesn't seem to be that kind of interest, because folk has a disconnect, and it's not just in Atlanta. There's a disconnect between what the local people do and what people do on a national level. And, of course, some of it has to do, I suspect, sometimes with the kind of exposure of that, and sometimes it has to do with the elected officials themselves, who sometimes run low-key in order to downplay, to sort of dampen a turnout. Because you must remember, if I'm an incumbent, the fewer people turn out, the better. but it's a mystery. But it's not something just unique to this city. It's the kind of thing that spreads all across this country in terms of why people don't vote, because it infects even the national election to a large extent.
I was just really surprised. I thought, well, they didn't vote in the general election. It'll maybe it was the confusion, but surely everyone is going to come out.
They were focused on this because, I mean, look at the way the campaign ran. I mean, the campaign during the runoff, it became very, very
testy.
Thanks for that. You're absolutely right. I mean, and there was a good deal of mudslinging, misinformation. A good deal of that stuff was swirling around. Not to mention, even in the general election, there had to have been several dozen forums that were held all across the city in terms of trying to inform people of what was happening. But you still did not get that kind of thing. This happened also 8 years ago when Reed and Norwood were running. You did not get a large turnout. In fact, the turnout at the runoff stage with Reed and Norwood was even lower than this.
I don't get it. I don't know if it means citizenship classes.
It could be. I mean, and think in this, I mean, I don't, once again, it's be speculation, but certainly in this country, there's a kind of easiness that things are going to go all right because, you know, people think that this is the kind of representative democracy and things are going to go all right and things go. And then there's also, and I think we should not discount Kipling. There are a good many of people who simply feel that their participation, be it voting or just simply voicing stuff, really doesn't matter. That, too, is evident in the research that we know about this. People just don't feel it does not matter. And if you're in a group that's been oppressed, it certainly feels that way. And I think certainly in African-American communities across the country, there's this feeling sometimes of we've been oppressed and just about to give up, not worry about it.
And in Atlanta, when you talk about that, people being oppressed, the north-south divide. I mean, absolutely. This city is, it's a north-south divide. Is that ever going to merge or get gray?
Well, you're always going to be hopeful, right? I'll be hopeful. But I think if in my profession in political science, we look at this stuff and we see that it's consistent over time. Because if you look at the map for this past week and the week in 2008, they're very similar. In terms of the folk who went for Norwood on the north side, and the people who went for Bottoms this time on the south side, I mean the map is so stark in terms of who voted for whom, so it does come down to that, and I think that may be a manifestation too, of a feeling of who you think can best represent you, and there seems to be a feeling among a good many African Americans that maybe a white mayor would not be the best person for the job because time and time again they have voted. But I should say that in 2008, from a historical perspective, Norwood in 2008, when she and Reed were contesting, Norwood picked up 20-25% of the black vote. She didn't do too badly this time either. So there are folk within the African-American community who are raising questions and are prepared to put their own interests ahead of what we would call, just because you look like me, you would think like me.
The identity politics.
Yeah, they call that representation, you know, descriptive representation kind of stuff, right?
Dr. Boone, again, I always love it when you come and share with us. You provide context and history, and it's invaluable. And, you know, hopefully folks will go back and start voting again. But thank you so much for sharing. For our listeners who may want to reach out to you, if you could just share your contact information.
Sure. It's wboone@cau.edu. Drop me an email and we'll respond.
Thank you so much, Dr. Boone.
Thank you, Kevin. Always good to be with you.